Let's bow our heads for prayer, please. Our loving Father, we thank You for this day that You have made. And this morning, we're glad that we can bow in Your presence, thankful for the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. Lord, we have nothing to bring to You, only our sinful, contrite hearts. And Lord, we thank You that You receive us because of Jesus. And now this morning, we want to commit this time to You, Lord. We thank You that You are the Good Shepherd. And I ask, Lord, today that You would lead Your people into green pastures and beside still waters. You restore their souls. Lord, You're the one who can do that. And Lord, I know in my own flesh, Lord, I can do nothing. And so by Your grace and by Your Spirit, would You come and minister to Your people. Lord, I pray that I could be a vessel this morning that You could use, and the hearts and the ears of Your people could be open, Lord, to hear what Your Spirit is saying to them today. And You administer to every need this morning. Thank You that You love us. Thank You that You care for us. And we're thankful this morning that we can dedicate this time to You and trust You this morning. Our eyes are upon You, O Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to greet all of you in the precious name of Jesus. And I come here with mixed feelings, I guess, this morning. I was thinking how long it's been since I left here and moved to Texas, and it's a little over 9 years already. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's 9 years ago in June. And there's been a lot of changes since I've left. I look around here and I don't recognize very many of you. And that's all right. Change is good, isn't it? If everything stayed the same, it would be pretty stagnant. So change is good. And God bless you this morning. We're thankful that we could come. I feel unworthy to be able to stand before you and be able to share. But it's a blessing and I count it a privilege. Well, today I'd like to, I don't know how this flows with the rest of the service, but I think it does. I'd like to begin in John 15, if you would turn there with me. John chapter 15. Our brother was talking about in the opening about pureness of heart. In this chapter here, Jesus talks about being clean through the Word, about purging, and I want to talk to you this morning about some of the ways of God, if I can. I feel like I don't know much about the ways of God. I'm too little to understand them very well. But I'd like to try to share a little bit. I'd like to read these first 5 verses of John 15. Jesus talking here, He said, "I am the true vine, and My Father is a husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth fruit..." I'm sorry. "Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in a vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing." Well, I'd like to speak to you about purging this morning a little bit. And I guess when you think about it, when Brother Dean was sharing the opening, he was talking about purging, wasn't he? He's talking about getting our lives cleaned up. And we want that in our lives, and we need that in our lives. And, you know, God has a way of doing that. And when He sees you, as we read here in verse 2, He sees you bearing fruit. He comes to you and He says, "I want you to bear more fruit." And so He starts working on us and He calls it purging. And I wonder this morning if you in your mind could give me a definition. You don't need to speak, but think about what is purging. The next verse there, verse 3 says, "Now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And that's one way God cleans up our lives, through His word. But this morning I'd like to think about one of the ways that He uses. Many times God prunes us by allowing us to encounter troubles, tribulations, and difficulties. Now that sounds real exciting. Now you're going to be real excited about this message this morning, aren't you? You just love to hear about those kind of things. Well, if you're like me, you wonder about that sometimes. But God does that, doesn't He? He brings things into our lives that aren't necessarily the most pleasant and not necessarily what we would choose, but He has a reason for doing it. And that's what we want to look at this morning. One of the burdens of the message is that what we do when God does that to us, when He allows those things to come in our lives. The question is, I guess, is this. Does pruning automatically make us better people? Does it just happen automatically? God comes with His pruning shears and He starts looping off some of those branches that need to go, and you say, glory, hallelujah, and everything goes fine from then on, right? Well, not really. We have some choices to make. And when pruning and difficulties come into our lives, there's a couple of responses that we can have. And that brings us to the title of the message this morning. I've entitled it, Lessons from Afflictions, Bitter or Better. Bitter or better. What is it going to do to you? Is it going to make you bitter or is it going to make you a better person? There are many people. After God has come and seen that they're bearing fruit and He lovingly prunes them, that they become bitter people. And they didn't become better people. And so we have some things that we need to understand. And some things we need to look at. And I like to try this morning to encourage you as God's people. I have not arrived in it by any means. I'll tell you that right now. Life is a process. And I'm in the process. It's a series of steps and growth and continual learning. And I haven't learned everything and I have a lot more to learn. God showed me a few things. I feel like I'm taking some baby steps. But we want to grow, and as I share this message, please don't feel like I'm trying to tell you something and I've got it all down pat, because I don't. I don't profess to understand or know all the ways of God. You know, if I did, I guess God would be pretty small, wouldn't He? If I understood God and all His ways, God would be pretty small, because I have a pretty small mind. God is a big God this morning. And He's an infinite God. And He's an all-wise God. And I don't understand all His ways. I don't. But He's a good God this morning. He's a good God. You can trust Him this morning. I thought about Job. You know, Job had a lot of questions. You read the book of Job, just read it sometime and look at all the things that Job asked about. He had a lot of questions. You know, I was wondering, do you know anywhere in the book of Job where God answered his questions? Study it sometime. When God came to Job, He asked him a lot more questions that he couldn't answer. He asked him a lot more questions. He didn't tell him why he did everything that he did, and Job didn't understand it all. But he came to realize that God's a big God and He knows what He's doing. So this morning, before we get too far in this message, I'd like to emphasize two points about God. Now, God is a big God this morning, and we need to have a big God. If we have a small God, we're in trouble as His people. He's a big God. And let's think about two things about God. First of all, let's think about His love. And I want you to remember these two points as we go through this message. First of all, God is love. We know that verse. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, God is love. Now, I want you to remember that this morning. And God, not only, as we think about that, remember that God loves you. He loves you personally. Sometimes when difficulties and stresses and pressure and hardships come into our life, we wonder about God's love. I don't. Maybe you've never been there, but I've been there. I've wondered about God's love. But don't forget this morning, God is love. And remember, He's an infinite God. His love has no bounds. It's there. You can't begin to comprehend how much He loves you. It's just... Well, you know, Isaac Watts, he had a big God. He says, he wrote the song, he said, Great God, how infinite Thou art. and how poor and weak are we. And when we come to think about the love of God, we can't comprehend it. We understand it in a measure. We understand He so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. And we understand that, and we appreciate that, and we're thankful for that. But there's much more to God's love than that. It says that God also chastens those He loves. And do you understand that kind of love? But God's love is so infinite. It's so, I'm just kind of stuttering around for words this morning. How do you explain God's love? But He loves you this morning. I wonder if there's anybody here that wonders about that this morning. God loves you. The other thing I want to think about this morning is God is just. Now, when you start thinking about God, we try to put Him into sections so we can try to understand Him in our little finite minds. We try to figure out how we can put it all together. And we have a little difficulty putting God's love and His justice together. It seems like there would be a struggle in the heart of God to make those things work together. But you need to understand something about God is that all His attributes are all totally a part of Him. And it's not like God is this at one time and then He's this or He's this. He's not just one time. And he's God of mercy another time. And He's God of grace another time. He's God of wrath another time. They all work together. It's just one complete whole. And they're not something that fight each other in the heart of God. It all works together beautifully. And God is just this morning. David said this way, as for God, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. He's just. Everything He does is right. Everything He does is perfect. I don't understand all of that in my finite mind. Sometimes I grope with that and I can't comprehend it all. But God's ways are perfect this morning. Amen. He's a just God. Here's another verse from Psalm 119:75, also by David. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right and that Thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. What a verse. Well, this morning, you might say to me that, well, you don't understand where I'm at. And I confess that's true. I don't. I don't know you. Like I said, most of you I don't even know. I know some of you, but most of you I don't know. I don't know what, and the ones that do know, I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what God is doing in your life, but I know that He's a loving, just God that's working on you if you're one of His children. And He does it in various ways, but I know He's working on you if He's one of His children. If you're one of His, and this morning, we as human beings are limited as we relate to one another in the things that we go through in life. Proverbs 14:10 says this: "A heart knoweth its own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy." And you say, what does that mean? One other version said it this way, maybe makes it a little bit clearer: each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. And so there's a sense which wherever we're at, there's maybe other people might not be able to come into the depths of whatever you're facing or feeling. And that's true. And though God says and tells us in His Word we're supposed to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, and that's right, and we need to do that as brothers and sisters, there's a sense in which no one can go and understand maybe the whole depth of where you're at, except the loving Heavenly Father we have in heaven. He can. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and He knows how to relate to you. Amy Carmichael said this in her book, Rose from Briar. And I like this little saying, and I like to say this to y'all in relation to where you're at this morning and my inability to necessarily know exactly how to relate to all of you. Obviously, I cannot. But anyway, this is what she said. And she was on a bed of affliction. If you read about her, there was a time in her life where she was laid up on a bed of affliction. This is what she said: "The toad beneath the harrow knows where every tooth point goes. The butterfly upon the road preaches contentment to that toad." You say, well, that doesn't make any sense. Does it make any sense to you this morning? It's simply saying that what happens oftentimes in the things that we face as people and God's people and the afflictions that come our way. Sometimes we don't understand what a person's going through, and we might be the butterfly upon the road where everything's going fine. You know, we're just floating along real nice. But there's someone that's struggling, and maybe they're on a bed of affliction, and the butterfly is preaching contentment to the one that's suffering. But they don't understand where every tooth point is going and what they're all going through. And I would say this morning, that is true as I relate this message. I don't know what some of you may be facing, but I know that God loves you, and I know He's just. And He has things He wants to teach you. I've come to this realization as we face afflictions and difficulties and hardships and trials that we're affected by our culture quite a bit, aren't we? If we see someone that's going through something, I think we get to be a little bit like Job's miserable comforters if we aren't careful. We start saying, well, if it only, you know, there must be something wrong with you. There's something wrong in your life, or you won't have all this happening to you. And it's almost like these kind of things shouldn't come upon us. But I think we need to take a fresh look at the Word of God, and we want to do that today, and realize that this is normal Christianity. It's not abnormal, and we shouldn't look down on those who are suffering. We should be there for them as much as we're able and be able to encourage them. And I hope this message can be an encouragement to you this morning. Because if you don't understand that this is normal when it happens to you, it's going to be a shock, and you're going to say, why? What's going on? Why is this happening to me? Why is it happening to me? Why would God do this? And I know those are normal questions, even if you do expect, you are expecting them, these kind of things. But so I want to prepare you this morning, and I want to change your attitude about afflictions. Maybe you don't need to have them changed, and I hope that's true. But you know, we have a negative attitude toward afflictions many times. And I confess this morning, I'm not where the Apostle Paul was when he said, I delight in infirmities and distresses. And I can't quote that whole list, but he had a whole list of things. I'm like, I was studying, looking at that when I was studying for this message. I'm not there. My first reaction is, oh no. Oh no, Lord. But I'd like to encourage us this morning. All of us are going to face these things sooner or later. The Christian life is not get saved and live happily ever after. It's not that way. If you found it that way, I don't know what to say about all that. But God bless you and be encouraged. And God will minister to you according to your need. I know He will. But it's not that way. It's the narrow way that we're walking on. And if you study that word narrow, it means a place filled, a path with obstacles on all sides where you're having difficulty getting through. It's pressure filled and you're to struggle. That's what the narrow way is all about. Our family verse in the Psalm family, the Brown family, talked about Psalm 23. I was blessed by that. I'm so glad we have a shepherd this morning. But you know, it says in there that though he... can't even quote it right now. Let me turn to it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, the Lord is our shepherd. And I don't know, you know, those verses have been used to talk about the end of life here on this earth, but they've taken on a new meaning for me. It's parts of the afflictions that God takes us through. He takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. And I'm not talking about physical death, but death to self. And He uses afflictions to do that. And Watchman Nee talks about it in his book, The Normal Christian Life, and he says it's the dark night of the soul. It's a time when things are not very bright, and there's a time when things look dark, and people struggle in those things, and they wonder what's going on, and they wonder where God is. And remember, I didn't write it on the board, but remember what I said, God loves you, and God is just, and He knows what He's doing. Don't forget that when the dark times come. Don't forget in the dark what you've seen in the light, and keep on trusting God. Keep on trusting God. Well, let's look at a few verses here now and just look at what the New Testament has said about afflictions. And I'd like to begin with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. We're going to read a couple verses there, and one verse there, and then we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I'd like to show you from the Word that this is normal. And it should not be a surprise to us. And we should be looking for these kind of things. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, that's God talking to you this morning. Beloved, He loves you. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. The fiery trial, what is that? Well, that's talking about the crucible. That's talking about what they use to bring, to purify gold and silver. And God says there's going to be those things in your life. There are going to be some fiery trials. There are going to be some time when God turns up the heat and He brings hardships and difficulties and trials into your life. Disappointments, temptations, pressure. And He says, don't think it's strange. Do you think it's strange this morning those things happen? Or do you think it's strange in someone else's life and that happens to them? Say, ooh, what's going on with them? Don't think it's strange. God is going to do that. He's going to try you. He wants to see what you're made of. He wants you to bring forth more fruit. That's the verse we looked at the beginning. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me start with verse 1 and read down to verse 3. Wherefore, when we can no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. Did you know you were appointed thereunto? Do you like these verses? I don't like these verses too good in my flesh. But this is what the Word of God says. You are appointed thereunto. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 talks about how all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And that sounds like affliction to me. John 16:33, Jesus said this to His disciples, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Are you one of His disciples this morning? Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. I don't see anybody jumping up and down saying, hallelujah, this great tribulation is going to come my way. But Jesus warned us and He told us, He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be trials. There's going to be afflictions. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Acts 14:22. Let's turn to that one. Acts 14:22. This is Paul, and he's going around preaching and sharing the gospel, and then he returns to some of the city. Let's start at verse 21. And when they had, this is Acts 14:21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Well, you say that was the persecution and all that they faced. And that's true, it was. But you think we're exempt from tribulation because we don't have the physical persecution that they had in the book of Acts? I say, no way. God is interested in our lives, and the Father, the husbandman, is going to come, and He's going to bring His shears, and He's going to bring us to the place of much fruitfulness with His afflictions that He brings into our lives. He wants to do that, and He will do that. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2 talks about, it says this, arm yourselves with the same mind. I got to turn to it. I can't quote it. Let's look at that. If you don't mind turning with me, I appreciate it. If you can, 1 Peter chapter 4. I just want to lay a foundation that You don't think this is strange and this is some idea of mine. This is the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4. This is what it says here. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, brothers and sisters. This is what you need to put on for your arms. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And there we're getting into some of the things that we're going to learn as these things come to us. So, it's pretty clear in the Word of God, isn't it, that these things are not uncommon to God's people, but they're a part of the Christian walk. They are a part of the Christian walk. And I want, this morning my goal is for you to be prepared and ready to face it and ready to learn what God wants to teach you when those times come your way. Because we were talking about revival this morning. I'm afraid that what can happen and what does happen at times is when God does that, why we back off from God. And because we don't understand and we start questioning His love and we start questioning what He's doing and we don't understand and we back off. And I'd like to encourage you this morning, maybe there's someone here that's has God at arm's length because of things that's come into your life. And you're not sure. And you're not sure how to react to what's been going on. And maybe there's resentment and there's self-pity and there's anger and there's bitterness. And usually it's directed towards people, but finally it's really directed at God. And God meant it all for your good, and He wanted you to be better by His grace, but you've got this bitterness in your heart, and you won't allow God to work what He wants you to work, what He wants to work in you. And surely, if you can see God's hand, and I'll tell you that it'll bring revival in your life, when you can see God's hand working in these things, it will. I can testify to that. Because I've faced a few things in my life. I haven't faced much, but I've faced a few things. And I would say that I can't say that I had a good track record. I would say that I've had struggle with bitterness and anger and self-pity and all those things. And I'll confess that this morning. But God was merciful to me and He kept dealing with me. And He brought me to a place where I was accepted God's hand in my life. And I'd like to encourage you this morning the same way so that you don't become bitter from life's difficulties, but you become better. A better person that God can use. Well, what are some of the lessons that we can learn? I'd like to now move to the lessons. I think I've got 10. Some of these overlap a bit. And I looked at my notes and I preached this sermon at home quite some time ago and I think I'm going to change it. I have put down here that I have learned, but I don't think that's true anymore. I'd say I'm in the learning process. I haven't learned, but I'm in the learning process. So take these things from that perspective this morning. I'm in the learning process and you don't just learn it and then you have it the rest of your life, but it's a continual learning experience. And God continues to work in all of our lives as we continue to follow Him. And so it's a continual thing. But number one is I am learning. I am learning to accept with joy afflictions. I'm learning. I haven't learned it, but I'm learning. James chapter 1 verse 2 says it this way. He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I don't see many people doing that. I guess I don't know about that, but you know that means you count it nothing but joy. You say, this is the greatest thing. Nothing but joy. You don't say, oh no, not this again. You say, it's nothing but joy. I confess this morning, I'm learning, and I want to get to the place where I can say that I delight in these things like Paul did. But God wants to teach us to joy in afflictions. He wants to teach us that. And if only we could have that heart and attitude when they come, why, we would have a whole new perspective. You know, we quote Romans 8:28 so often, and we say, everything, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We say that verse, and we believe that verse, and we quote that verse, especially when we quote it to other people that we think need it. But that's for us, and we need to understand that, and if we understand that really in our hearts, then we'll take with joy the things that God brings our way. We'll take it with joy. Because we know God's going to do something good in this, even though it doesn't seem good when it comes our way. Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, and I alluded to this before, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And He's just telling you how much He loves you when He brings difficulties into your life. He's saying, I love you. You're my child. I love you. So, God wants us, and He wants me, and He wants you to learn to accept with joy the afflictions that come our way, the difficulties, the pressures, the hardships, the things that, you know, aren't necessary glory, hallelujah, when they just show up. But they should be. You know, the joy of the world is a joy that's when everything's going my way, I'm happy. But the joy of the Christian is not that way. It's a joy even when things aren't going necessarily the way I prefer. Number two, I've come to understand, and I'm coming to understand, I should say, that God uses these things to refine us. And we were talking about the pruning process. So we talked about the crucible. God brings these things into our lives to refine us. Proverbs 17, verse 3 says this. If I could quote it now. It says I can't quote it. Let me turn to it quickly. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3. The fining pot is for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. The Lord trieth the hearts. And you know, the picture there is refining gold and silver, bringing the scum to the top so you can take out all the dirt and you can have pure silver and pure gold. And then the proverb says, and the Lord does the same things to our hearts. He does the same thing to our hearts. And oftentimes He uses afflictions. He uses other things too, but He oftentimes uses difficulties and trials, hardships, in all kinds of different ways. The Lord trieth the hearts. Psalms 119:67. I've got a number of times we're going to be looking at Psalms 119 this morning. David, he understood these things. Psalms 119, verses 67 and 71. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Do you see what's happening there? He said, affliction came into my life and now I keep thy word. Before that, I went astray. So there's refining going on there, isn't there? After affliction came to him. Verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. That I might learn thy statutes. And so you see it very clearly there, don't you? There's a verse in Hebrews that just kind of, I confess to understand, but even Jesus, it says, learned obedience by the things that He suffered. I don't understand that this morning. But I know this, it seems like this makes sense to me at least. If Jesus learned obedience by the things that He suffered, why wouldn't we as His disciples need to go the same way? Now that makes sense to me. I know I need that. I don't understand how Jesus needed that as a perfect Son of God. I don't understand all that. Maybe someone can explain that to me, but I know that I need it, and I know that you need it, because we're people, and we need God's working in our lives, and we learn obedience by the things that we suffer. Job 34. Job 34, verses 31 and 32. This relates to the same principle. Verse 31 and 32 of Job 34. Surely it is meet to be said unto God,
I have borne chastisement, I will not offend anymore. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do it no more. You see the same thing there? I have borne chastisement that I will not offend anymore. So the refining process is going on. And brothers and sisters, how many of you get on your face before the Lord and say, God, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Change me and purify me and cleanse me and work in me. And then God starts answering your prayers and He sends some affliction your way. That's what He does. He answers your prayers. He's answering your prayers. Why do we react to that when He answers our prayers? Well, that's what He's doing. I remember when Brother Denny shared that with me years ago down in Texas. He said, God is just answering your prayers. Oh, that gives a whole new life. But that's what He's doing. He's answering your prayers. You want to be more like Jesus. Okay, have some affliction. Purify your life here and make you more like the Lord. It's pretty hard to say thank you, isn't it? Well, let's move on. Number three, I've learned that affliction, through affliction, I should say, remember, I'm learning. I've not arrived. I'm learning through affliction that God alone is all I need. God alone is all I need. Leonard Ravenhill said this, you can't say Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. You know, God sends afflictions and He takes things out of our life, doesn't He? He lopes off those branches that shouldn't be in there. And He takes them out. And God wants to get us to that place where Jesus is all you need. You don't need anything else. You don't need understanding friends. Although I want to be careful, I don't give it wrong. I believe that God wants us in the bodies of His church to be able to relate to one another and help one another. But do you need understanding friends? Do you need a good reputation? Are you one that's serving God for the blessings that you've received from the Lord? And there are lots of blessings from the Lord, but why are you serving Him? Are you a loaves and fishes disciple of Jesus? You're following for the loaves and the fishes? Or is just Jesus, is that enough? Is Jesus enough for you? Just Jesus. But God wants us to get us to the place He takes all the props out of our life and the only thing we have left is Jesus. That's it. Nothing more. Will you follow God simply for Him alone? Are you following Him for the blessings? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. This is what God told Paul when he had a thorn in the flesh. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You don't need anything else, Paul, just me. That's all you need. And God wants to get every one of us to that place. You know, a lot of us have a lot of props that hold us up. A lot of things that we hang on to. And He just wants to take it all away. He loves you. Don't forget that. He loves you. He loves you. He strips us of purpose so that we can bear more fruit. Number four. This is kind of a difficult one, but it's one I think I need to mention as we go through this message. God, I've noticed this. God uses human instruments to refine us. It's a difficult one. The reason it's difficult is because we don't see God holding the knife. We just see people holding the knife. We see people bringing affliction into our life. We see others doing that, and we don't see God. But God uses people. He uses other people. He uses other believers. And that could be a real struggle. You know, we have high expectations of believers, don't we? We have high expectations of our fellow believers. And that's not all wrong. But, you know, our fellow believers are a little like me. And your fellow believers are a little like you. They're human beings. They fail. Sometimes they do things that cause problems in your life. They'll bring affliction into your life. They probably didn't try it. They probably didn't want to. But that's what happened. And God uses them. And we got to see beyond the people. We got to see beyond our brothers and sisters. And we got to see God behind it and realize that Romans 8:28 is true. It's true this morning. And God is working things out for our good. We expect unbelievers to maybe oppose us or bring difficulties into our life. But when it's our fellow believers, that could be a real struggle. But can you see the hand of God? We need to see the hand of God. He uses our fellow believers. And He uses them to refine us. David, he understood that. Let me read some verses that he said. And it applies to, I believe, to possibly it was a prediction about Judas. I'm not sure. But let's not look at it that way this morning. Let's look at it as a fellow believer. Verse 12 of Psalm 55. This is David talking, speaking, or writing. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. And maybe that's a prediction about Judas. I'm not sure about all that. But this morning, the point here we're talking about is God uses human instruments to refine us. And it might be our brother. It might be our brother. And there's lots of ways that afflictions come to us. It could be a bed of sickness. It could be misunderstanding from our brother. It could be an accident. It's just lots of different things that God brings. But this one here, oftentimes, He uses human instruments. And oh, for our eyes of faith to see beyond the human and see God in it. See God working, holding the knife. Number five, I've learned, or I should say I'm learning, and I have a lot more to learn in this one. But I've learned through affliction to be able to empathize or sympathize with people, with others. You know how that works, don't you? If you've gone through something, and then someone else goes through the same thing you've gone through, you're able to relate to that person. Beginning, we don't... The depth of all that we might not be able to enter into, but we're able to minister. Say, just for illustration, and I don't want to touch any sore point. I don't know what all is going on in your fellowship here, but if you had someone who lost a child through an accident, well, someone else later down the road lost a child in a similar way, why, that person who lost a child before would be able to minister to the one that lost a child today, because they would be able to understand what they're going through. And they'd be able to relate to the situation. And so they could enter into that in a way that I couldn't do. Because I've never lost a child. I could relate to them because I have children, but not in the same way. And so God uses afflictions in our lives so that we'd be able to minister to other people and to be able to understand what they're going through. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Is an example of that. I'm sorry, it's 2 Corinthians, I believe. 2 Corinthians. Let me just read a couple verses there quickly. Just to bring out the point. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comforts, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see the principle there? God ministers to us as we go through something, and then when someone else goes through it, we're able to minister to them. And that's the way the body is supposed to work. And so God, He brings these things into our lives so we can be able ministers of His grace to others. And we know the supreme example of that is Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. I believe our brother shared that this morning. He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities because He went through the same things that we went through. He understands you perfectly. If someone else doesn't understand you, Jesus does. He understands you perfectly. Number six. Through affliction, God's Word has taken on a whole new meaning in my life. You want to get deeper into the Word of God and understand it better? Well, let affliction come into your life. Allow it to come. Allow it to refine you. And let the Word of God minister to you during that time. You know what can happen when afflictions come? We can kind of back off from God, and we can back off from reading His Word, and we can back off from prayer. But God wants us to use those times, enter into the Word in a whole new way. And I tell you, in the times when I had my difficulties, and I've had some, it's not been much. I don't know how to relate to the apostles and those who suffered. But, you know, the Psalms became so meaningful to me. They just came alive. You read the Psalms, and David, you know, he just poured out his soul in those Psalms, and they just ministered to my soul, and they encouraged me. And in the midst of his David, he would be going through something, and he would be pouring out his soul and telling God his troubles, and then but by the end of the chapter, he's praising the Lord. And those verses, they ministered to me just a couple testimonies of David. Just real quickly here. I think I've got too much material this morning. Psalm 119, again, and verse 50. Listen to his testimony. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. That's what happened to David in his affliction. The word quickened him. And verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have then have perished in my affliction. You see, in times of affliction, he entered into the Word, and the Word of God became real and alive to him and ministered to. And that's what needs to happen in our lives. Don't turn away from God. Get closer to God. Draw near to God, and He'll minister to you through His Word. And it'll become alive in a way that it never had before. And verses that really didn't mean much to you are going to come alive in a special way. And God will use them in your life. And that's precious. Well, this one's closely related. Through affliction, we learn to pray. If you don't back off when God brings them. We learn to pray. We learn to enter into prayer in a way that we didn't enter into prayer before. That's the way it's supposed to be. David, he had a testimony about that too. Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And there you just see him just crying out to God. And that's what affliction should do. It's a means of drawing us closer to the Lord and entering into special times of prayer and giving everything to God and just laying it all out before Him. Don't back off from God. Enter into prayer and seeking Him through His Word and through prayer. James chapter 5 says, is any afflicted? Is any afflicted here this morning? Let him pray. That's what the Word of God says. Let him pray. Number 8. This is more of a warning, I guess. You know, times of difficulty and affliction. Times when maybe things seem dark and you're entered into what is called the dark night of the soul. I don't know if you understand what I mean by that. But it could be a time when things seem dark. When God is taking you through the refining process and you may not be understanding what all is going on. But there's something that you need to be warned about during those times. Satan wants to take advantage of you in those moments. When things seem dark, they're not dark, but it might seem dark to you. Satan likes to come in those moments and tempt you. And you know he's that roaring lion. And he's going to whisper in your ear, and in those darkest hours and the difficulties, he's going to tempt you to give up and say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I've experienced that. It's not worth it. If this is what the Christian life is all about, I don't know if I want it. That sounds like the flesh coming out, doesn't it? Well, I had those struggles. I've faced those things. You know, you get tempted to go back to your old way of living. Why don't I just go back to the way I used to live? And the devil comes and he tempts you in those times. And I tell you, you need to be on your guard because he's a roaring lion. He wants to overtake you. And he'll bring questions into your mind. If God is God, why are all these things happening to me? Why are all these things happening? But I tell you this morning, don't forget in the dark what you saw in the light. Because God is faithful and He loves you. And He's there for you even in those difficult times. But remember and be warned. And don't listen to those temptations when they come. Number 9. And I've kind of put two together here. And I suppose this relates to the refining process and all, but I want to make a special point. God uses afflictions to break us and to destroy the self-life in us. You know, one of the things about God's people is that many times we do God's work in our own power and strength and ability. We've got a lot of resources, don't we? Got a lot of knowledge. We got good teaching. We got lots of tapes and books. We got a lot of abilities. And if we're not careful, we go in our own strength. And we forget that verse that I read there in John 15 where it says, "Without me, you can do nothing." But God brings affliction into our lives because He wants to deal with the self-life in us. He wants to deal with the soulish part of us that's motivating us and pushing us forward. And it might be good things. There's lots of people doing lots of good things by themselves. And they're not wrong things, but they're just coming from themselves and it's not being motivated by the God of heaven. And God wants to take that all away. He wants to break us and He wants to strip us. We talked about that a bit before. We need to come like Isaiah, till we come to a place where we see our utter need and say, "Woe is me. Woe is me." But you know, I don't think we understand it sometimes. We think our abilities are an asset to God. But our strength is our greatest liability. Do you believe that this morning? Your strength is your greatest liability. Paul said, or God told Paul, "My grace is made perfect in weakness." What's your strength this morning? Has God dealt with that? Have you laid that down and given that all to God? Or are you still operating in your own strength? God wants to break us and destroy the self-life in us to the point that all we have is Him and everything we give to Him. Your ambitions, your desires, your goals, the things that you receive that are in it for you in your service for the Lord. Oh, so many times our self gets in the way. I confess that that has happened to me so often. Watch Manee, he said it this way. He said, "You know what happens when we're in the flesh? We're building a wall. We build 12-foot a wall. And then we start working on the next section of the wall. And we look back and the first 12 feet that we've build has just fallen over because we were doing it in our own strength. It wasn't wrong what we were doing, but it was simply motivated from us. It was ourself. And God wants to just take that all away. God uses broken things. He uses things that are undone. And that's the way He wants to bring us. And He uses these things to break us. They come our way, these things, and we can't deal with it and we can't handle it. And we are just cast on God. And He starts showing us our needs. And He starts showing us how much we need Him. And we just come to the end of ourselves. Our strength this morning is our greatest liability. May God deal with us so that we can be a useful tool in His hands. He wants us to respond to Him instantly, willingly, and without hesitation, no matter what He asks. Our own way is gone. Psalm 32, verse 9 talks about, don't be like the horse or the mule. We've got to have a bridle in your mouth. We don't know how working with mules is. I don't know much about mules, but they understand they're a bit, well, mulish. They're a bit stubborn and have their own ideas. They can be a bit stubborn. And that's the way we tend to be as people, and God wants to break that so that we're just, like our brother said, that lump of clay that He could mold and use. Oh, may God do it in our lives. The question I have in this is, are you dead yet? Are you dead? Are you crucified with Christ? That's the way Paul said it. Are you dead yet? There's a lot of self in your work for the Lord. Well, another thing that God teaches us as He brings affliction into our lives, He teaches us patient endurance. Patient endurance. You don't need to turn there, but if you like, James chapter 1, verse 3. And I'll start with verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so, there's a patient endurance that these afflictions bring into our lives. And they bring what is that? That is being able to endure pain or provocation without complaining. It's talking about persevering and waiting calmly for what God wants to do and show us. I believe it's James. I don't know what the reference is. James chapter 5, where it talks about, you have heard of the patience of Job. And God wants to work that in us. He wants us to be able to come to a place where, like a weaned child, we're just going to sit on, like a weaned child can and sit on his mother's lap and just be content and just happy. There's no fussing and begging and complaining. He's just a weaned child. And God wants us to get to that place where we're just relaxed in the Master's hands and on His lap and just content with Him. Oh, that God would give us that grace that we would wait upon the Lord. And He teaches us these things by the afflictions that He brings into our lives. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, they shall. They shall renew their strength. Well, I'm sure there are a lot more things that God teaches us and has taught you. But I'm going to close here soon. My goal this morning is so that we would begin to see afflictions and what they work in us, that it's a blessing for our lives. So that we can begin to rejoice and glorify God and delight in them and allow them to work that what God wants to work in us. And I hope in a small way maybe this would be an encouragement to somebody this morning. Maybe someone is struggling today. I don't know where you're at. But I hope that in some small way the Lord can minister to your heart by His Spirit and encourage you to learn all that you can learn from the things that God brings to you and allow Him to do His work so that you can bear much fruit. Remember, that's the goal. And you know, we need to have the attitude of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, there are light afflictions. There are light afflictions. And I think about Paul and what he went through. You know, you've read the things that he went through. He went through a lot of afflictions. But he said, they're light. And I haven't faced anything like the Apostle Paul has faced. But I'd just like to read this closing scripture to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 through verse 18. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, these bodies, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, And therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, that we and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of God redound to the glory of God. I'm sorry, I didn't read that right. Let me start again. Verse 15. For all things that are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And oh, that God would give us those kind of eyes. We need to have those eyes of faith to look beyond the here and now and see the eternal things that God is working in our hearts. I'd like to, in closing, read to you something from K.P. Yohanan. And I guess this kind of sums up what I was trying to share this morning. And he's much more eloquent than I, and maybe this will help everyone. I don't know how many of you know who K.P. Yohanan is. He's the president of the Gospel for Asia. Here comes God with the pruning shears, is the title of this little. It's called 5 Minutes with K.P. You are so excited for the first time in your Christian walk. You have discovered a fruit of the Spirit in an area of your life where you've struggled for years. Just when you've almost given up, you read John 15:5, He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Suddenly you understand the whole concept of fruit bearing was so simple. Staying in Jesus, letting His life flow through you, and the fruit would naturally grow. Now it's actually happened. You are rejoicing. You can't wait to show the new fruit to your Heavenly Father. To your great joy, He lets you know that He will soon come to inspect your branch, the branch in your life that has produced fruit. You can hardly wait for His arrival and suspect that He will surprise you with a certificate or a reward for doing so well. But to your bewilderment, when He arrives, He carries nothing but a big pair of pruning shears in His hands. What is He planning to do? Somehow you get the feeling that His idea of inspecting your fruit-bearing branch doesn't exactly match your own expectations. John 15:2 tells us what God has in mind whenever He discovers fruit in our lives that has come as a result of abiding in Jesus. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. This means that He will not leave us alone, but instead is determined to make us even more fruitful. His strategy is to begin a very deliberate pruning process by allowing us to encounter troubles, tribulations, and difficulties. These adversities serve as His shears and pruning knife. That doesn't sound like anything we would choose for ourselves. Often our biggest concern is how much God is planning to cut off of our branch. But let me tell you about the tea plantations in my native India. Thousands of acres are covered with beautiful, lush, deep green plants. But if you were to visit the same tea estates during a certain time of the year, you would immediately think that something had gone very wrong. Instead of thriving bushes with healthy growing leaves, you would find only naked little stumps with a few bare branches clinging to them. They look dead and hopeless. All of their beauty is gone. If you were to search for answers, you would find laborers with sharp knives and shears going from tree to tree and mercilessly cutting nearly everything off. Others continually haul away truckloads of green leafy branches. In the end, you would stand in a barren place. This is pruning. When God puts His knife to our branches and begins to slice off the parts that must go, we often experience great loneliness, low emotional feelings, and pain. Pruning actually creates a temporary dry spell in our spiritual life, very similar to those barren tree stumps in the tea plantations. Watchman Nee calls it the dark night of the soul. Very often we feel confused and we fail to understand what is going on. We pray, but God doesn't seem to hear. We fast, but our situation stays the same. We repent of every imaginable sin we could have committed, but find no answer. Discouraged and frightened, we conclude that something is wrong with our spiritual life. This is the most dangerous time during the pruning process, and is the one most often used by the enemy to trip us up. He intends to deceive us into thinking that we have backslidden, lost God's grace, and should quit serving God. Or, and this reminds me of what Brother Dean was sharing this morning, he tries to convince us to create a counterfeit spiritual life to compensate for what we think we have lost. If we believe him, we will generate all kinds of carnal activities so that no one will discover that God's presence has left us. But all the while, nothing is wrong with your spiritual life, and we haven't lost anything. We are just going through a pruning process. If we could only recognize the hand of God that holds a knife, then we would be able to do the right thing, trust in His wisdom, humble ourselves, and honor Him by walking in faith rather than sight. Then we would be able to accept the wilderness, the cutting, discipline, loneliness, and the pain as necessary preparation for the future when God intends to entrust us with much more responsibility and fruit. Most of all, we'll be able to see God's love in all of this. Remember, I was telling you, don't forget, God loves you. He loves you this morning. We'll be able to see God's love in all of this. God's greatest concern is that our inner life keep pace with the tasks He has assigned to us. For unless our character changes, our nature is transformed and we come to know the Lord much more deeply, we will only become proud and arrogant when God uses us in a greater way. In light of this, pruning is an expression of God's love and care for us. It ultimately prevents us from becoming spiritual casualties. Do you want God's pruning process to go on in your life? My heart this morning is that we would just give our hearts to God when those things come. Isn't it very clear that this is a very necessary part of our walk with the Lord this morning? Don't get bitter at God when things come your way that you don't understand. Don't get bitter at God. Trust Him. He loves you, and He has your best in mind. And the best way that you can thrive in times of difficulty and afflictions and whatever comes your way is just give yourself totally to God and say, Lord, I'm going to learn whatever you want to teach me, and I'm just going to give myself to what you're trying to show me. And see if you don't start taking joy in it. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we're thankful for your clear word to us today. You love us. Your love is an infinite love. It's beyond my comprehension. But I thank you for it. Lord, you're a good God. And all your ways are perfect. You understand us. You're the good shepherd. And this morning, I pray for all these folks, all these brothers and sisters this morning. I don't know these people, Lord. You know them. I don't know what they face. I don't know what their struggles are. I don't know what you've brought into their life, Lord, to prune them, to prepare them for what you have for them in the future. But I pray, Lord, that every one of them will be so sold out and committed and trusting you that they allow you to do whatever you want to do. Lord, I pray that you would just bless everyone here this morning. Each one of them could grow in their fruitfulness for you. Each one of them could decrease so that you could increase in their life. Each one of them would bow their heart to your ways and to what you have for them. And I thank you, Lord. In the midst of it all, your grace is sufficient and your throne of grace is always open for us to receive that help and that grace we need, Lord, in those times of need. Thank you, Lord, you haven't left us as orphans, but you've sent your comforter. And I pray, Lord, that all of us would enter in closer and nearer to you, no matter what you bring our way. And Lord, if there's any here this morning that feel like giving up, that are bitter, Lord, at you for what you've allowed in their life, help them, Lord, to see your love. Help them to see your gracious hand in it all. And may they be able to, Lord, respond in faith and go on with you. I pray for that, Lord. So we thank you, Lord. Just have your way in all of our hearts for the honor and glory of our Savior, whose name we pray. Amen.
You know, as our brother is sharing with us, I had to think for myself in some of the things that God has allowed me to go through and some of the things I'm learning. You know, I think often at the time when we feel that testing and that pruning in our lives and we're wondering what's happening, we stand right at the threshold of going on with God or drawing back. Losing our life, just giving it all up, or saving my life, saving my reputation. Not wanting to go through the hurt and the pain. And I just want to encourage us this morning. I feel this is a good sound message for us to receive to our hearts and to take it, and to not squirm and wiggle out from under God's hand or come up with some other reason. And I just pray God would grant all of us grace and wisdom to just surrender, to just die. You know, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, Brother Grant, as you were sharing, it brings forth much fruit then. And so I thank God for His Word to us today. It's a beautiful balance of Scripture, of truth. God can do that because He's God. So I would just like to take a few moments here to open it up. Maybe someone has a testimony to share or a confession or something. Just raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you. Just mind the Lord. There's a hand down here in the middle, one over there, one up front here. God is so good. He is our shepherd. He loves us. He's speaking to us. Go ahead, Robert.
I'd just like to say that God's in my life here when I'm around the brothers and when I'm at the church. But God's in my life when I'm at home by myself. And God's with me when I'm on the road. And God's with me anywhere. And I just want to surrender my life to God forever. Not this moment, but forever. Because God has saved me from the person I was and the person I don't ever want to be again. I want to be what God wants me to be and why God died for me and why God died for all of us. I think we forget very easily. I know I do as a brother. I can forget within seconds. I can walk out of the church and forget. But I just keep praying and begging that your prayers, that I can be saved daily and for the rest of my life eternally, in heaven and on this earth. And I want to thank God for coming into my life, and I just want to thank Claire and Grace for introducing me to God, because I couldn't continue to live in the manner I was living. And I know we all go through our ups and downs, but I want to be with God when I'm down, and I want to be with God when I'm up. And I just want to thank you for being in my prayers, and thank you for loving me, and in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I just praise God that I'm bought by the blood of Christ. And my heart was so filled with joy today. I was alert. I was awake. And every person who spoke the word. And as our brother came up there to lead worship, he just said that, may those who are behind that pulpit speak to us and minister to us. And I was ministered to. But first, I have a confession. I was at work yesterday, and I work with a Buddhist man. And we were talking. He's a lot older than me. He's 20, 30 years older. And maybe it was the way I was brought up, but I feel a little... I got to be careful with my words when I'm around older people, because I respect them. They are older than me, my elders in some respects. And so there was a little intimidation there just naturally. And he was going on about his faith and how he was saying that all faith lead to God. And he was saying some very blasphemous things, because I know in my heart that only through Jesus Christ do we go towards God. And I was really taken back. I never had spoken with a Buddhist man before. And I didn't say anything. He said, Well, tell me what you think. And I was my mouth was closed. And so he dropped the subject. And I felt really smitten in my heart that I need to be ready to give a testimony for Jesus Christ at any moment. So about 30 minutes later, I came up to him and I said, "Hey, I really have something to share with you. I'd like to share my faith with you." And he goes, "No, I've got something to do right now." And my heart just broke that I missed an opportunity there for a moment. So please pray for me. I never want to miss that opportunity again. And Lord willing, I'll be back in a couple weeks. We're going out of town for a while, and I'll be able to speak to him again about my faith in Jesus Christ. And as Brother Grant was preaching there today about afflictions, I see that this environment that I'm in at my new job, that I just started a few months ago, it does seem an affliction to me, and I've shared that with a few of you. It's a long commute to Philadelphia Airport there, and it's very difficult at times. But I know God is pruning me for a reason. He's pruning me for a reason. And I just want to be faithful, because that Buddhist man, he needs Jesus. All those guys there, they need Christ. And I want to be faithful to that. And I believe Grant, God bless you for living in Texas. I lived there for a while, and it's an affliction to live there through the summer. It is hard. And I just thank the Lord that you're here. I got to know Brother Grant several years ago, and I appreciate that. And as Brother Dean shared, may I be bent. May all of us be bent, but may I be bent, Lord.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Put your hand up here in the middle. Someone else, get your hand up so the usher can get the microphone to you up here on the right. Yes, Brother Andrew.
Yeah, I just want to give my testimony that I really feel my heart was ministered to this morning, and I just stand amazed at how the Spirit of God can put thoughts into the heart and mouth of a brother that doesn't know right where we're at. And you just feel like God is saying, "All right, Andy, sit down, take notes." And you know, that's how I felt this message was for me this morning. As some of you knew, you know, I felt like I've just gone through a time which you could compare possibly as one of the dark nights of the soul. I praise God. I want to give my testimony that that those days of doubt and depression are over. I feel God's sun shining over me right now, and you know, His presence is close. But that paragraph that Grant read at the end just ministered so much to my soul, that God had a purpose in it. He had a reason for it. And I praise God for the breaking that it brought to me, for the just that crushing. And yes, I want to be one that can finally learn, like Grant said, I am learning to rejoice in those things. And the next time I want to respond more in faith than what I did this time. A verse came to my mind just towards the end of the sermon in 1 Peter that I just want to add one thought to what Grant had to say. And that is, in 1 Peter, it also talks about afflictions. It says that ye greatly rejoice in Jesus, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Those words, "if need be," spoke to me this morning. Those afflictions that God allows into my life and into your life, sometimes Satan comes and he makes us feel like this is an exception. This isn't really a pruning. This isn't really a breaking. This is just something that serves no purpose. It's just purposeless, meaningless suffering. But those words there, "if need be," just three little words, spoke to me this morning that there is no such thing as purposeless, meaningless suffering for a Christian. Mm-hmm. And so the pruning and the breaking that we're going through right now, or maybe you're going through, definitely falls into that, into line with that. And don't let Satan tell you that this is an exception. This breaking or this trial or affliction that you're going through, this suffering, this one right here has nothing to do with God's plan for you. It's a lie. God has a purpose in it.
Amen.
If need be, He allows it to happen.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Just a hand over here. Yes, Arlen.
Yeah, I appreciated the message, and that's why we have communion, because we live, because we died, and because Jesus, the worst thing happened to Jesus, and it was necessary that we could live. I made dinner, and I'm looking forward to it, and I want to tell you why. Thursday night, I bought 2 pounds of lamb in Philadelphia at the market before we left, and I wrapped it up in a wet towel and set it there till we got home to keep it. And I got it out of the van and I put it in a box. And that's the last I thought of it till yesterday at market in the afternoon. I thought, hey, I never took that lamb into the house. And I quick called Edith and she says, yeah, I just found it. It was in a box and I felt it still cold. I put it in the refrigerator and I got home and I went to that lamb and I opened it up. It still smelled okay, so I fried it, and I sent James out for some peppers to fry with it. And then I cooled it, and I was going to have it today. This morning, I sent Amos out for some potatoes, and Regina washed them, and I put some carrots in it and cooked it, and it's in the crock pot. But the reason I'm hungry for dinner is not because of the lamb stew, but because it was lost, but it's found, you know, it's still okay. And, you know, Jesus takes us through these things, and we want the good, but in the end, the only reason we have anything and have anything good and anything to eat and any joy, it's not because we did things right, because we put everything at the right place and took care of it, but because we were lost and we had no hope. It should have been gone. But He kept us, He preserved us, He kept us through it. That the only reason we're happy is because He's our Savior. He still loves us, not what we have done, but what He did.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yes, right up here.
This message was a very rich one for me this morning. I really thank God. I want to thank God publicly for afflictions and for the dark night of the soul, and indeed the peaceable fruit of righteousness that it yields. Praise the Lord. I know those 10 points. I knew them. But what I really appreciated about this message this morning, brother, was that foundation that you laid of those two things right in the beginning. God loves us. God loves us, and God is just. And I needed to be reminded of that. Yes, I'm still learning this lesson and these lessons, but I thank you, brother. Praise the Lord.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Is there someone else? Up here in the front on the sister's side. A hand in the back on the sister's side. Go ahead.
Well, Grant was asking, I'm not sure how these fit together, he said. And in my heart, I just thought, my, how they fit together. When Brother Dean was sharing, well, first off, let me say that the ministrations of the Holy Spirit, they are awesome in our life. And when Dean was sharing, and I'm anticipating and looking forward to the meetings, I thought, I think I'm looking forward to these meetings in a different way than I ever have in the 30 years of my salvation. Because in the last year, since July 16th of last year, I have gained some fruit, some victory, some freedom that I have never had in all of these years. And so there has been some walking from glory to glory, which is just exciting and thrilling. But in the midst of that walking, there have come some tribulations and some confusions and some criticisms. And how I bless the Lord for the reminders today, because if we're in that light, as Dean shared, then we can respond to all of these without condemnation, because He does love us. Mm-hmm. And the purpose, and so therefore we can go on. And I think several of us this last year, as we have had some new victories and some new fruit, sometimes we've had our spiritual wind knocked out by something that has come hit us, it seems. This was just very, very encouraging. I bless the Lord, and Grant, I bless the Lord because I've seen these truths in your life.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. There's one in the back. Yes.
I just want to testify this morning that God has shown me very clearly what I need to confess and what iniquity I've hidden in my heart. I have been struggling this week to abide in Christ, and more than just this week, but I had written the verse out as a big card on my desk that without Him, you know, that one that he read from in John 15, I can do nothing. And each day as I was meditating on that verse, I kept thinking, I'm doing nothing. Why can't I abide in Him? And what's wrong? And what's blocking this? And I've been reading a book on prayer and seeking God and trying to have this reality in my life that I've tasted before and I've known before, but I couldn't figure out why there's this distance and this, you know, I'm failing daily to walk in the Spirit. And so this morning I feel like Dean's message was very preparing me to receive Grant's sermon, which I felt was a total gift from God. I see clearly now what I need to confess, and he was revealing to me what I need to surrender to and the bitterness I need to turn away from. So I just wanted to praise God and give him the glory and thank him for sending Grant from Texas to speak that to my soul.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.